This podcast is brought to you by the Everything Nut Allergy Cookbook, available now wherever books are sold. Details at foodallergypi.com. Welcome to the Food Allergy Talk podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI. The topics covered in this podcast are not medical advice and are simply the opinions and views of both myself and those interviewed. While you will hear me make mention of my holistic nutrition certification, you should know that this is not a medical license and you should always consult a licensed board certified allergist. I'm Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI, host of Food Allergy Talk. I'm a holistic nutritionist, cookbook author, food allergy community advocate, and blogger. I'm married with 5 children, ages 4, 6, 9, 11, and 14. My oldest, Stetson, is the only one of my 5 children with food allergies, anaphylactic to peanut and shellfish since he was a baby. Then, recently this year, he was additionally diagnosed with anaphylactic allergies to pecan, walnut, oats, garlic, which by the way has been the hardest and worst of all of them, it's in everything, sweet potato, watermelon, and pear. We live in southeastern Arizona, where I homeschool all 5 of our children. I got involved in the food allergy community through support, outreach, and fundraising in 2009, following Stetson's first anaphylactic reaction. Later, in 2012, I initiated legislation to allow for stock epinephrine to be available for all students in Arizona schools. This was passed into law later in 2013. In 2018, I began focusing my energy on reaching out to the food allergy community through my blog, Food Allergy PI, because isn't that what we all are? When we are caring for others or ourselves have food allergies, we're detectives, we're investigators. On Food Allergy PI, I share my own experience caring for food allergies, travel, dining out, product finds, and recipe creation. Most recently, in 2021, I authored the Everything Nut Allergy Cookbook. Now, I have created the Food Allergy Talk podcast as a way to continue building community and helping others in the food allergy community. My goal is to help you not only learn from my journey and those interviewed here on the Food Allergy Talk podcast, but to grow and gain confidence in all facets of living a full, whole life with food allergy, body, mind, and spirit. Health, safety, social, emotional, and spiritual well-being, all of which are impacted by living with food allergies, as well as for those caring for others with food allergies. This is Food Allergy Talk, where you can come to connect and leave uplifted, empowered, and ready for success. Welcome back to the Food Allergy Talk podcast. If you're living it or have a question about it, we are talking about it. I'm your host, Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI. On this episode of Food Allergy Talk, I welcome the 2 oldest of my 5 children, Stetson and Isabella. Stetson is 14, going on 15, and anaphylactic to 9 foods. Isabella is 12, and as far as we know, she has no known food allergies. The reason we say as far as we know is because this spring, we purchased a giant box of peaches, and while enjoying one of her favorite fruits, peaches, she had a slight reaction, and we aren't sure if it was an oral allergy syndrome reaction or just like a fluke thing, maybe from some of the pesticides that were sprayed. We just don't know, and so we're now in the process of working towards meeting with an allergist to determine where she is food allergy-wise. Being just a couple years apart, these 2 have been best buddies since they were little and have shared a childhood together. Stetson was first diagnosed with his peanut allergy when he was just 18 months old before she was born. And so she doesn't know anything different than growing up with a sibling with food allergies. And so I wanted to have Stetson on to tell us about Halloween from his perspective, because he also knows no difference since he's had food allergies since he was 18 months old, and now he's going on 15 years old. And also Isabella as a sibling growing up with a brother with life-threatening food allergies. So Stetson and Isabella, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. I'm so glad to have you guys together. So, as we mentioned, Stetson, you were always only allergic to just peanuts and shellfish up until this year when you received a diagnosis of 7 new allergies. And so as we chat, for our listeners, that will explain if we sometimes sound like we're favoring peanuts, if you will, or that we're discussing peanuts more than some other things. That's because up until this year, that was really his only food allergy in addition to shellfish. But shellfish, you know, it's not to minimize it at all, but as a kid, you don't really come across shellfish very often. You know, it's not in all the chocolate candies. Peanuts is. So that's why, to give a little bit of insight into why it might seem like we're talking about peanuts more, that's what his history of growing up with was mostly his allergen we were concerned of, again, until this year. And so now he's allergic to peanut, pecan, walnut, shellfish, which is crab in particular, oat, garlic, sweet potato, watermelon, and pear. So Stetson, what is your favorite memory or tradition for Halloween?
Probably for me is going house to house trick-or-treating.
Do you have a favorite costume? Like, what was your favorite?
For a long time, for multiple years in a row, I just dressed up as a stormtrooper or a clone.
It was like every year, what are you going to be, Stetson? I'm going to be a stormtrooper again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so is that your favorite all those years?
Yeah, it was.
That's awesome. And Isabella, what about you? What is your favorite memory of Halloween? Or even a favorite tradition?
Trading candy.
So do you mean trading candy with your siblings or trading it into the Switch Witch? Or what do you mean by trading candy?
Trading candy with my cousins and siblings.
All right. Well, that's a fun thing to do. Now, one of the things that is what I like to frequently refer to as a silver lining, looking at the bright side of things. And so in regard to food allergies, there's a silver lining. And it's that it's forced us to do some things that have made a real positive impact and have benefited our family. If it wasn't for food allergies, you know, we have really taken a whole different perspective and look at food. And I would say we cook more than we probably would have if we weren't kind of like forced into having to cook and bake more at home and make things homemade. And so because of that, we also, like, one thing led to another. And I think that we're healthier as a family. We tend to eat healthier, and we've learned a lot about our food supply and food and groceries and shopping and cooking and baking. Now with Halloween, we were pushed out of our comfort zone into maybe some of the traditional Halloween things that just everybody does without even kind of thinking about it. This is just what everybody does for Halloween. It's what you do. And so to make the most of it so that we could still have an awesome Halloween and not let food allergies stop us, we created new traditions. And so I would invite everyone, you know, as you're listening to this and as you're looking at your own family and your own situation, think of some new traditions and create ways that you can enjoy and just make the most of Halloween despite those pesky food allergies. And this can be as simple as something that you say when going door to door, or it could be an activity. Now, Stetson, when you were younger, it was kind of like a scary thing to go out trick-or-treating, because if you think about it, you have food allergies. And you're going to send your kid out in a costume to go knocking door to door. And of course, they're supervised. You know, we would walk with them through the neighborhood. But you're knocking door to door to potentially ask for your allergy. Like, hey, give me some stuff and I don't know what it is, and give me candy. Yeah. And, you know, if you kind of think about it, it doesn't sound very smart, but it's a tradition, you know, and it's fun, and it can be fun. And so what did I have you guys say instead of just trick or treat?
Trick or treat, no nuts, please.
Isabella remembers, and she's the one that doesn't have the food allergy. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah.
And I didn't really push it as much as he got older, but especially when they were really little, like toddler and just little kid, trick or treat, no nuts, please. And you would be surprised, just that simple little thing when they would say that at the door, some people may not pick up on it or catch it, but a lot of people did. And they were like, oh, no nuts. Okay. And they would start shuffling through their bowl to find like the Tootsie Roll or the Smartie or whatever in their mind they thought was no nuts. And again, if you have different food allergies, that's going to be different for you. And it may not, like now with 9 food allergies, I don't even think that would so much work anymore. And so with having 9 allergies, we wouldn't really be able to say, no peanuts, Trina, shellfish, or I can't even say it all fast enough. Oat, garlic, souped in watermelon pear. It would be much harder to say something quick and snappy like that. So of course it worked for peanuts, but it wouldn't possibly, you know, really work for you now with all your 9 allergies. But it was something that we did. And so you kind of, again, you have to look at your own situation and see what will work for you to safely navigate and maneuver through Halloween and still have fun. Isabella, how did you feel about that? When do you remember saying it? Obviously you do because you're the one that said it just a second ago. How did you feel or what did you think about that?
I don't know. It's just kind of something that we always did. I just wanted candy. I don't care what kind.
You're like, okay, I'll say whatever as long as people keep filling up my bucket full of candy or my pillowcase full of candy, right? Yeah. All right. Now, when they were younger, I didn't keep any of his allergen in the house. And then at Halloween, I would not let Isabella, and then he also has 3 other younger siblings, Juliet, Genevieve, and Sterling. I didn't ever let them keep any of the peanut candies. So for example, Isabella, Reese's peanut butter cups and other things. Now, it maybe a few years ago is when I started allowing them to keep May Contains. Because at that point, so we were just discussing it. And what did you say, Isabella? You know, Sterling, their 5-year-old brother, do you think we could trust him right now if we said, okay, for Halloween, you are not allowed to go into anybody else's trick-or-treat box or whatever, their bucket, their pail of candy. You can't eat anybody else's candy but yours. How much do you think you could trust that he would choose to do the right thing?
Not at all. He always eats my candy.
Yeah, it's like a natural 5-year-old thing to do that you're going to go sneak in your siblings' candy and take their candy because you're a kid and you want sugar and you want candy, right?
Yeah. Stetson? Same thing always happens with my water bottle.
Yeah, he'll take your water bottles. And so you just have to be careful because at different ages, developmentally, just kids aren't ready to follow certain instructions. And so going back to what we were talking about, I didn't allow the other children to keep anything that Stetson couldn't have. If he couldn't have it, they couldn't have it. Because it was just, for me, it was a easier way for me to manage his safety. Isabella, how did that make you feel when I would take like the Reese's peanut butter cups and things like that out of your candy?
I never really had any of that stuff for a while. Because he wasn't allowed to have it, so I don't know. I guess I just didn't really care for it that much.
And then once I started letting you guys keep, so what are some of the things I let you keep now that are May Contains? Like Kit Kat, Almond Joy, because he's not allergic to almonds or coconut, so I let you keep Almond Joy.
Twix.
How do you feel now that you can have those?
I'm happy about the Kit Kats and M&Ms. The Twix and those things are okay.
So some of it you still don't even really care for. So you weren't completely missing out. Did you understand that you were keeping him safe or what did you understand of it?
You kind of just told us that if he ate it, he'd get sick. So I don't know.
You didn't want your brother to get sick? Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, what about the Switch Witch? And so before I ask Stetson some questions about it and also Isabella, if you don't know what the Switch Witch is, and I'll put a link in the podcast notes here. The Switch Witch, there's several of them that you can buy and that you go to Amazon or whatever. And oftentimes they'll also come with a little storybook that has a story about the Switch Witch. It's kind of like Elf on the Shelf. And the Switch Witch, so you put her out at night by your candy. And you get all the candy that's like, quote unquote, the bad candy. So like the Reese's, in our case, the Reese's peanut butter cups or even the May Contains or whatever, everything that everybody's going to give up and not have and get rid of. And instead of throwing it in the garbage, you leave it out for the Switch Witch. And then the Switch Witch comes in the night, kind of like a Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or whatever, the Switch Witch comes, and she will take your candy. And in the morning when you wake up, so all your candy is gone because the Switch Witch came and she switched it out for something else. Stetson, what are some of the things that you've gotten over the years when the Switch Witch came?
I honestly don't remember. I think the only thing I do remember is sometimes we get Play-Doh.
Okay, so Play-Doh. Isabella, do you remember some of the things that you got switched out?
I think we got Starbursts and Tootsie Rolls.
So sometimes for safe candy or sometimes for Play-Doh or toys and things like that. Now, did you feel like you were getting gypped giving it up for another treat? Or did you feel like this is cool? Or did you not really care? How did you feel about it, Stetson?
I didn't really care.
And then Isabella, how did you feel?
I guess I just didn't really care that much because I never really had it.
So it's kind of interesting as a parent listening to this, because sometimes I think as a parent, and this may not be for everybody, but I really overthink what my kids are feeling and going through. And it kind of makes me feel good that they didn't really care and they don't really remember because it makes it not feel like you have such a heavy weight on your shoulders as a parent. That because sometimes with a food allergy, and they do have to live life a little bit differently, you can kind of feel like, oh, I just want to give them a normal childhood and I just want to give them the best childhood. And so to know that, yeah, I made all these efforts and we, you know, we have the Switch Witch and we do this and we do that. And that basically I didn't really screw my kids up and I didn't ruin their childhood and food allergies didn't ruin their childhood because they're cool with it. And like they didn't care as maybe as much as I thought they cared. And it didn't make as much of an impact to them as maybe I was afraid that it might in a negative way. So it's like a good thing. Does that make sense to you guys listening to a parent's perspective?
Yeah.
Now, another thing that we've done instead of the Switch Witch is that we have donated all of our unsafe candy. So like actually containing the allergen, but then also may contains, is we donated it to Operation Candy Buyback. And so if you Google that, and I'll put the link in the show notes as well, is you can look up participating dentists' offices, sometimes orthodontist offices as well, in your area, and they will take that donated candy and they will send it in care packages to our troops that are serving around the world. So it's like, it's awesome. It's a feel-good thing because you're helping our troops, our military, but with the donated candy. But then also it's cool because what happened when you turned in that candy?
We got money.
They got money for the candy that they turned in. So that's really cool, right? And different dentist offices do different things, you know, when they weigh it and they give you something back. Do you guys remember how much candy we took the last time we took it to a dentist office?
A lot.
Like 5 bags, Ziplocs.
Yeah. And it filled up. It was like a good quarter to a third the bottom of a very large kitchen trash bag. It was heavy. It was heavy. I think, was it like 30 pounds or? Yeah. It was, you know, nowadays I really feel like kids get way more candy than I did trick-or-treating between all the trunk-or-treats that you go to. It's almost like there's more Halloween activities too. Like when I was a kid, we didn't have trunk-or-treats. We just went around the neighborhood one time just on Halloween night. And so now between like church activities that they have and, you know, maybe like a gymnastics trunk-or-treat or just different things in addition to Halloween night, you guys get, you have to admit, like it's way more candy than you could even eat regardless of food allergies, no?
Yeah.
Have you ever finished your Halloween candy?
No, it always went bad before I could.
Yeah. Now, some other ideas if you're looking for a way to minimize anxiety and to provide a safe, fun time, or even just to reduce the risk of an allergic reaction, is host your own party at home. You know, sometimes the anxiety or stress of going to someone else's party, it can just be too much, like all the what ifs and all the things that you'll have to do to make it safe. Host your own party. And that might be more stressful for some people, but then for other people, it might be just what you need to kind of have more control to take away the anxiety. And a couple of ideas that we have, Stetson, do you remember doing the mummy wrap at like some trunk or treats or different parties that we had?
Can you describe the mummy wrap?
You don't remember it? Isabella, do you remember it?
Not by name.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell everybody what we do for the mummy wrap game.
We just wrapped everyone in toilet paper like a mummy.
You wrap them like a mummy. Now, do you remember it, Stetson?
Yeah, a little bit.
So you could get two or more people, get groups of two or more people or teams of two or more people, and you literally just get a roll of toilet paper and you have one person stand there and then their teammates, whether it's one or more people that are on their team, wrap them up from head to toe, and then the team that has wrapped their mummy first or runs out of toilet paper wins. And it's very simple, but it's really fun. And then another one that we did is, Stetson, do you remember doing Pass the Pumpkin? Like hot potato.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I remember kind of.
Yeah. And we just passed around a little pumpkin and played some Halloween spooky music. And then when the Halloween spooky music would stop.
I completely forgot.
If you had the pumpkin, are you out or are you in?
You're out.
Yeah. I know. It's been a little bit. When you're almost 15 years old, it's been a hot second since you played hot potato or pass. That's the pumpkin. But those are some fun little things that we did when we would have kid Halloween parties at our house. And we have personally not done this, me as a parent, but I have heard of other parents doing it. And so I wanted to share that in this podcast today. And it's pre-packaging or even just getting a bag of candy or however you decide to do it, maybe a little goodie bag or a little Ziploc bag or however you decide to do it, but you get some safe treats, some safe goodie bags, and you leave them strategically at certain neighbors' houses, you know, the week before or the day before, and you just ask them, hey, so-and-so, my Mr. Smith or Mr. Johnson or whoever your neighbor is, would you mind having this available so that when we bring little Johnny or little Susie by, that you'll be able to give them this safe candy because they have all these food allergies and we want to have them participate. And so a lot of people have had success with working with their neighbors in kind of planting some safe candy with them so that when they come around, they know that that's theirs. And then another fun one, okay, Stetson, come on, don't fail me now, buddy. I know it's been a long day and teenagers, they're growing and they're sleeping a lot and getting tired. The teal pumpkin project. Do you remember what it is? If you see a teal pumpkin out like at somebody's door or at a trunk or treat, what does that mean?
I remember seeing it. I forgot what it meant, though.
Do you want to phone a friend? Meaning, do you want to have Isabella help you?
Yeah.
Isabella. So did you guys ever see that $1 million Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show? That was one of the things if they didn't know the answer.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Am I aging myself or have you seen that show?
I've seen it.
So you want to phone a friend?
Yeah.
Isabella, do you know what the teal pumpkin project is?
I think it meant that someone had food out, what's it called? Not food free.
Non-food.
Allergy.
Like free? Toys? Yeah, allergy free.
Treats at their house. Is that it?
Yeah. So it means that if you go out and about and you see a teal pumpkin, it means that those people, those individuals, whether it's at a trunk for a trunk or treat or if it's at a house for trick or treating, that they're allergy aware, they're allergy friendly, and they should have some non-food items. And that could be all sorts of things. It could be yo-yos, pencils, stickers, puzzles, bubbles, all sorts of good stuff. When they display that teal pumpkin, it's really become synonymous and has gained quite a bit of traction and mainstream awareness. You can even go to Target and Walmart and you can find teal pumpkins. They even have really cute ones that light up. I've seen so many different teal pumpkins at mainstream brick and mortar stores. And it shows that you're allergy friendly, allergy aware, and that you have non-food toys and treats. And if you don't know where to go or how to get involved, The Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis Connection Team, also known as FACT. They are a national nonprofit. They have teamed up with Walmart for years. And so if you go into Walmart, into the Halloween aisles, you will see kind of like they do at Valentine's and other times with their holiday items, is you can get all of those non-food things, the yo-yos, the pencils, the stickers, and you'll see the FACT teal ghost on those boxes full of the non-food stuff. So it's pretty cool that such a large chain such as Walmart carries that and is participating as well. So let's talk about one of my favorite things, food. I love food. I love cooking. I love baking. And I especially love themed or holiday food. But kid food that's holiday themed and cute and fun is one of my favorite things because not only is it fun to make, but I get to see the joy in my children. Now, Stetson, what Halloween food do you remember me creating for you over the years? What's one Halloween treat that you remember me making?
That's a hard one.
Do you have to phone a friend again?
Yeah, I'll remember.
Isabella, save your brother. What is one of your favorite Halloween treats?
The mummy cookie thingies.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I'm going to link all these. I have a ton of Halloween friendly recipes. A lot of them are semi-homemade because, as you know, if you are a food allergy parent, we have a lot of extra stuff on our plate to navigate this world safely with food allergies. And so if we can do semi-homemade, all the better, right? It becomes a win-win for everybody. You can find all of them on my blog, foodallergypi.com. Again, I'll link those in the podcast notes. Super simple, fun, easy for kids to help make as well. And then many of them are top 8 and top 9 free. So the ones that she's referring to, I got Biscoff cookies. Those are peanut free. They do have some other allergens in them though. And we dipped them in white melting chocolate and then drizzled some across to make it look like a mummy and then put two little candy eyes in. And most of the time, those candy eyes are top 9 free. And I'll link to all of this again in the podcast notes. But what else did we make this year? Do you guys remember? Come on, Stetson. I made a few of them and you saw me taking pictures of them for my blog. You don't remember any of them?
I'm sorry. I just don't really have many fond memories of Halloween.
Now, why don't you have fond memories of Halloween? Let's touch on that.
I think it might be since a lot of Halloween is based around pretty much just dress, get a costume, and then go get free candy. And since it's candy, it's food, I can't have lots of candies. Left me out, so I decided I don't really care anymore about it.
And does that make you sad, or do you just kind of like, you don't really let it bother you, you kind of don't care, or does it really bother you, or...
I honestly don't care.
And you're becoming 15, and it was even hard for you to for us to get you to pick out a costume this year.
Yeah.
So I think part of the like not caringness also comes from having a teenager.
maybe not.
I don't know. Teenagers are a whole other bag of fun. They are fun, though. Isabella, do you remember the treats that I made this year?
Yeah, I think my favorite one was the grapes and the Frankenstein thingy.
Okay, so describe those.
So we took a clear plastic cup and we took a permanent marker and we drew Frankenstein faces on the clear cups and we put green grapes in them so it looked like Frankenstein.
Yeah, and then we also did, you could do it with broccoli, you could really do it with anything green that your kids or your family like. And then we also did, we call them bananas, and literally so easy. And again, I have all these linked in the podcast notes, but you cut a banana in half, you peel it, and then you stick some chocolate chips in for the eyes and the mouth, or to do some citrus jack-o'-lanterns, and you just get a Sharpie and you don't even peel the little mandarin oranges or the cuties or anything. You just draw the jack-o'-lantern face on there. Like, there's so many ways to be creative and fun and do some things to bring the spirit of the holiday in, if you will, for Halloween, and to do some really simple, fun recipes. I also, one of Isabella's favorite ones, was it the eyeballs, Isabella, or was it the little mini monsters?
Wait, of what?
Let me see if I could pull it up. So you guys can't see this, but I'm going to show Isabella on the website if she remembers this. This was probably, like 4 years ago when I first started this blog, 3 or 4 years ago. Let's see if I can find. Oh, here we go. Isabella, do you remember these?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like the eyeballs better or the little mini monsters?
I think I like the mini monsters
better. Stetson, do you remember these? I'm showing them on my blog right now.
I remember the eyeballs.
These eyeballs?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. Okay, so what I did, and again, all this will be linked in the podcast notes, I was able to get Enjoy Life. They have some protein bites. You could really get anything that is circular. And so Enjoy Life has protein bites. And then the GFB, they have gluten-free bites. So whatever works for you and your food allergy. But again, because they're circular and they're round like an eyeball, essentially we just dipped them in white chocolate and then we stuck some white candy eyes on them. And then we also got Made Good. They have some little granola bites. And we dipped those, and I think those are so cute. I think those are my favorite. And they, we dipped those because they're even smaller in white chocolate, and then put two little candy eyes instead of one, so that they wouldn't look like eyeballs, but they would look like their own little peculiar little mini monsters. But it's fun, and there's really so many things that you can do to still bring creativity and fun into it. And many of the ideas that are on there are even top 9 free. A classic from when I was a kid. Now, have you guys ever seen the candy ghost? Did you guys see that one that Juliet brought home from her church activity?
No, I don't remember.
Stetson.
I don't either this time.
Stetson, I feel like you're trolling me today.
No, I actually don't remember.
Isabella, did you say you do or no?
I don't this time.
Oh, that's okay. All right. So, for any of our listeners, I am in my 40s, friends. I grew up in the 80s. And, you know, so this was before internet. This was before www.anything. There was no Pinterest, okay? Like, you had to creatively think of things on your own, and then word of mouth, you know, people would pass these fun things along. But it was very popular when I was in elementary school back in the 80s, and they would make ghosts out of Tootsie Pops. And so you get the Tootsie Pop, and you put a Kleenex tissue on top, and then you put like a little rubber band to make it stay. And then you get a marker and you draw the little eyes and the mouth on there, and it totally looks like a ghost. Can you guys picture that in your head?
I remember that now.
And that is old school, but it is really freaking cool. That is like vintage pre-Pinterest Halloween creative fun. So we've talked about some of the fun stuff. Now let's talk about the safety measures for Halloween. So, like, one thing that I would definitely say is read every label every time. And how many times do I tell you that, Stetson?
Every time I even look at food, practically.
Every time I even look at food. But is it not some good advice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when in doubt, throw it out or trade it out. So if you're using the Switch Witch or Operation Candy Buyback, it's just not worth it. How many times have I told you that too?
Yeah. And wasn't there like an ice cream once where there's the exact same packaging, but in the exact same ice cream, exact same brand, except for one had different ingredients than the other?
Yes. So we noticed that this year we started going on RV trips, and the Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwiches, when we buy them at the grocery store, they do not have a May Contains warning on them. When we would try to get them at the gas stations, then what did they say?
They, I forgot.
May Contain Peanut. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so that's exactly right. And so it's just not worth it. Read every label every time. Now, also know that some candies in different sizes have different ingredients. A great example of this is Laffy Taffy. Now, we don't have an egg allergy, but I know lots of folks do. And if you get the small version of the Laffy Taffy, it may be fine for you. But if you go to like Circle K or Quick Stop or any of those gas stations or other places that you might see the large Laffy Taffy, they have egg. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So they completely change the recipe, if you will, and the ingredients. Now, what are, if you were helping me clean out the candy, because you guys, every time we come home, I say nobody can eat any candy until I clean the candy out. What are some of the candies that if you were helping me clean them out, do you know confidently that you could keep? And this is going to be different for everybody, but I'm just kind of testing them to see, just to kind of see what they know. But Stetson, if you were helping me, what are some of the candies that are kind of like go-to candies that you feel are safe and allergy-friendly for you with your list of allergies that you have?
Tootsie Roll and plain Hershey.
And what about Smarties?
What's a Smartie again?
Those are the ones that I like.
Oh, you mean those disgusting candies? I hate those.
Everybody hates Smarties. I love Smarties. Smarties are so good. And that's probably why he didn't know what they are, because he always tosses them to the side. So many people don't like them, and I glorify that, because I'm like, great, I'll take all of those that you don't want. What about you, Isabella? What are some of the candies, including the ones that are may contain, because we allow you to keep the may contain now, what are some of the ones that you know you can have and that you can keep when we're cleaning out candy?
Almond Joy, M&M's, and Kit Kats.
And you look forward to that, right?
Yeah.
It's a fun time. Halloween can be fun. Now, what are some of the candies that we know that we trade out, like without even a second thought, when we're looking at that candy, like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? Are there any other ones that come to mind that you know for sure, like, I don't want to eat that, we got to get rid of that?
I was thinking of Reese's, but then you said that.
Reese's, okay.
Wait, what was the question?
What are candies that you know for sure you can't have?
Oh, Babe Ruth. Oh,
Baby Ruth. Very good.
Not Babe Ruth.
Well, Babe Ruth was a baseball player, but that's good. So they know, you know, from years of doing this, even though it's something that only happens once a year, doing it over and over again, you're kind of training them for adulthood, because as they go into adulthood, they're trained now to kind of keep an eye out for what they can have and what they can't have. And they know from repetition, read every label every time. And when in doubt, throw it out. And that sometimes the ingredients might change based on the size, or even during special holidays. Something as simple as a wrapper change, like Dove chocolates during Christmas and other holidays, if you start reading every label every time, or maybe that's something that you already do, you'll notice that when they get those, now the Doves might have a ghost on them because it's Halloween. And then in a month, the Doves might have a leaf because it's Thanksgiving. And then another month later, the Dove chocolates might have snowflakes or something on it because it's Christmas. And you'll notice that when you read the label every time, sometimes it'll catch you and it'll say may contains, because they had to use a different facility to make those. So be aware of that. Now, what about Halloween parties? If you attend a party, talk to the host beforehand, or like we mentioned earlier, just consider hosting your own party. And it depends on your personality and your certain situation in life. One of those may or may not be more stressful for you. And what's stressful for me may not be stressful for you in handling the food allergies, and vice versa. So you have to just do what works for you, and own it and be okay with it and be confident in that. Let the host know your allergies and ask them if, you know, hey, these are my allergies. Is there anything I can, thank you so much for inviting me. I would love to come and attend. Can I come early? Can I help you cook? Can I bring a safe plate or a safe dish? Or, you know, what can I do? I don't want to be a burden on you, but also I want to be safe. And just kind of talk to them and see. Now, we have talked to our family and friends when Stetson has been invited over to eat. And just recently, Stetson went to a youth activity at church, and his church leader was like, I really want to include Stetson. We're going to be playing basketball and some other games, and we're also going to be having a barbecue cookout. And he is allergic to garlic. Like, he's super anaphylactic to peanuts, but believe it or not, he's even more anaphylactic, like super, 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 super allergic to garlic. He's so allergic. His numbers are just like off the charts. It's insane, to garlic of all things. And garlic is in hot dogs. So we usually stick to just plain hamburgers because it's usually just beef, salt, and pepper. But we ask them to cook it, or rather put foil on the grill and barbecue it that way for him. How did that go, Stetson?
good. It went good.
And how did that make you feel that they went out of their way?
I honestly didn't really care as long as I got to eat.
Yeah. But beforehand, you didn't really want to go when you thought that they were just going to have hot dogs.
When I first thought it was just a food activity, I didn't want to go. But once I realized there were games, I was fine with going.
Yeah. And it's always nice when people make a gesture to be kind to you and go out of their way for you. So that was really, it's really awesome when people do that. And this weekend, we are going to a church-hosted trunk or treat, and they're also having a chili party. Now, Stetson, do you like chili, even if you don't have food allergies?
I've never tried chili.
Yeah, he's just not. He's like, I don't even want it. Like, I can't even make him try it. Like, soups and chilies, he's just not.
I've only eaten soup once, and it was made by my aunt.
Yeah, she got him to eat chicken and dumplings. I was like, how did she get you to eat chicken and dumplings, and I can't get you to eat? He just doesn't like the texture of it, or I don't know. But, and she's the best. She made sure with me ahead of time that all of the ingredients were safe. And anyway, she is amazing and we love her. But so I already know Stetson's not going to eat the chili. But the baked goods, they're also going to have like cornbread and stuff like that. Can you just go willy-nilly, show up to the party and eat everyone's cornbread and stuff?
No.
Why not?
Well, I don't know what it's touched when they made it. I don't know where it's been. I don't know what's in it in general.
So cross-contact, unknown ingredients, lots of good reasons to not eat baked goods from other people. And then the chili, let's say that Stetson didn't already have an automatic distaste for soups and chilies. There is a nearly 100% chance that all of them would have garlic. Because if you have a garlic allergy or any allium allergy, onions, you know that they put garlic and onions and stuff like it's salt and pepper, like it's going out of style. And it's oftentimes hidden in names on ingredients such as spices, natural flavors, or seasonings because per FELCA, the labeling law, it's not part of the top 9 that are required to be included. And so how do we navigate this? Well, it would be a huge effort and it may rub people the wrong way and we may not get buy-in from everyone to participate. We could try and be like, hey, let's make this whole thing allergy friendly. That's going to be like, you know, climbing up a hill. And so what are we going to do? We have to find out what's going to work best for us, what's going to be the point of least resistance, but also what's going to be the safest thing. And then also how can we safely include him and include our family. And so what I did is just like many allergy parents out there do, is I signed up to bring our own chili to the party. And we'll make sure that we get ours first. So if people dip another ladle in, because there's cross contact, right? That we've already gotten ours first. And I'm going to make our own cornbread to bring so that he'll know that he has something safe. But we're going to bring our own and then we'll take the first servings out of it so we don't have to worry about cross contact. And so that's an idea if that's a situation that you might find yourself in. That's an option. There's not just one way to do something. And so there's other great ideas as well. But yeah, signing up to participate and kind of leading by example, if you will. And for me, when I have more control, and it doesn't mean I need to have complete control, but when I have more control over a situation, I notice that I feel less anxiety. How do you feel, Stetson, with your allergy? When you feel like you have more control over, you know what you're eating, you know what the ingredients are, does that help you to feel better, worse, the same?
Nowadays, I don't really care as long as I won't die.
Like, yeah, but you still want to know what's in it, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't know what's in it, are you probably going to be like, I'll still eat it anyway, or?
Yeah.
You'll just still eat stuff anyway if you don't know what's in it?
No.
Oh. I what have I taught you? Stetson. Yeah. So Stetson is on the esports team at high school, and he's been staying up way too late practicing video games.
No,
and so he is a little bit tired right now, if you can't tell. Because if you've heard him on other podcast episodes, he is like on his game. He is on top of it. And today he's a sleepy teenager. Now, Stetson, when you go trick-or-treating, what things do you make sure that you have with you? Anytime you leave this house, period, what do I always ask that you have with you?
EpiPens or AviQs or any type of epinephrine.
Yeah, and what do you like better, EpiPens or AviQs?
AviQs.
And why is that?
They're smaller and easier to carry around.
Cool. That's probably, if I were a teenager with food allergies, that's probably what I would have too, because you could just put them in your pocket, a backpack, you could just put them in anything. The EpiPens, I feel more confident, I think, using an EpiPen. I feel confident in using the AviQ too. But for carrying around, I would go with the AviQ too.
Yeah.
Now, as his parent, since I go trick-or-treating with them, I would recommend, and it's not a required thing, but it's something that could be helpful, is carrying a little package of wet ones or hand wipes. And that's just in case there's an accidental handling of the allergen. Because we all know when they're handing out that candy, sometimes some of the candy, like the Reese's peanut butter cup, for example, we go back to that a lot because that's a popular Halloween candy and he has a peanut allergy. It could be unwrapped. And it could have gotten all over some other stuff. And now you've got it on your hands and you're out in the middle of the neighborhood and you still want to, you know, stay out and have fun. What do you do? But having some wet ones in case you need to clean off a surface or your own hands or whatever, you have those with you. Also, very frequently throughout the night, and I've told you this a lot, Stetson, is don't touch your face, because how can an allergen enter your body? Through your eyes,
nose,
your nose,
or mouth.
Your eyes, your nose, or mouth. Good job. So don't touch your face. And I would always tell him that when he was little. Don't touch your face. Don't touch your face. Don't touch your face. And don't eat any candy until we get home and check it. And that was a rule back in the 80s. Back in the day when I was growing up, even before, like, there was so many people that had food allergies, even my parents told us not to eat the candy until we got home and they could check it. But it's still, same thing rings true for those with food allergies today. It's just a helpful thing. Now, Stetson, I want to know, when you go up to a door to get candy or a trunk for trunk or treating, you know, since we have the Switch Witch, I think you got a little bit easier about not worrying as much of what went in your bag because you knew that you would be able to give a lot of it away. But what do you do when you see people getting ready to put something in your bag and you know that it's not safe? What, like, or do you know what I'm saying? How do you handle different situations at the door?
When they put something in my bag that I know it's not safe, I just kind of like,
just keep going.
I just keep going.
Yeah.
I just like, oh, okay. Remind myself not to just eat anything in there I see.
Yeah. And does it make you a little bit, do you remember how you felt when you were younger?
No.
But over the years, you obviously have gotten a little bit more like, okay, this isn't going to jump back out of the bag into my mouth. As long as I don't eat anything in here, I'm going to take it to my mom and she'll clean it out.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is, you know, when he was younger, I would tell him this, and I don't know, you can chime in, Stetson, and let me know if you remember, but don't be afraid to say no thank you, or to select something else that's safe. So if you see in the bowl that there's like Tootsie Rolls and Reese's Peanut Butter cups, and you know that you can have Tootsie Rolls, don't be afraid to say, hey, I have food allergies. Do you mind if I grab the Tootsie Roll? You know, it's a real quick interaction, and it helps your kids to get confidence in kind of like advocating for themselves on the fly. Do you feel like that rings true for you?
I never did that because I was worried that someone would think, oh, he's just lying just to get the Tootsie Roll.
He's just saying that so he can get the candy, so he can get the candy that he wants. Okay, so I have one last question before we go. It's probably the most important question. Just kidding. Stetson, where are you going to be for Halloween this year?
Waldo.
Where's Waldo? Does anybody remember where's Waldo? So I think that's really fun. And if you've seen Stetson on my Instagram or social media or on the website or whatnot, then you know that he is a taller, thinner built kid and he has dark hair. And so I think he's going to look like a really good Where's Waldo. Isabella, what are you going to be this year for Halloween?
A hippie.
You're going to be a hippie. And she's my one blondie. I have now Sterling kind of has like a dirty blonde color. He's probably the closest in hair color to her, my youngest, but she, especially when she was little, had like the blondest, really, really, really light blonde hair and blue eyes. And so she's going to make such a cute little hippie. Stetson, what is Sterling, your little brother, our 5-year-old, what's he going to be?
I thought he was going to be Master Chief, but he said he changed his mind.
Well, so he conned me into getting him 2 costumes. Do you guys know what the 2 costumes are that he conned me into? One of them is the Master Chief from Halo.
I don't know the other one.
Isn't the other one like a Star Wars man?
Yep. And then the other one is Star Wars. see what he ends up being. I am a sucker when it comes to little kids in Halloween costumes because it's kind of like dress up toys, really, also. And yeah. It's a fun time to get those dress up costumes that time of year. Isabella, do you know what Juliet, our 9-year-old, is going to be?
A ghost.
A ghost, like on the Peanuts movie or the Peanuts Halloween episode. And then Stetson, do you know what Genevieve, your little 7-year-old sister, is going to be?
I have no clue. I never asked her.
Isabella, do you know?
A Power Ranger.
A pink Power Ranger. Stetson, do you know what Dad's going to be?
I thought he was just going to use the same costume he uses every year.
No. I want him and me to try our costumes on. We have like a couple's costume, and I'm super excited about this. We're going to have to post pictures on social media to show you guys because he's such a good sport. I get him to do a couple's costume with me almost every year. And so we've done like Popeye and what's Popeye's girl? Olive Oil. Yeah, I was Olive Oil. He was Popeye. We did Woody. And what's the Woody's girlfriend? Or what's the girl that's a cowboy like Woody on the Toy Story movie?
Jessie.
Jessie. And I was Jessie. But this year, do you know Isabella?
Grinch and the little girl.
Yeah, so my husband is going to be the Grinch dressed as Santa, like in a Santa suit. I'm sure some of you have seen that. And it has a very lifelike, realistic looking mask. So we're going to see how that goes. And then I'm going to be Cindy Lou Who. And I'm half Mexican. I have brown hair. And so I bought a blonde wig. So we'll see how that works out. And if we can get it to fit and make it look good and stuff. So that is what we are going to be for Halloween. Stetson and Isabella, thank you so much for joining today.
No problem.
No problem.
I appreciate it. I know sometimes it can be a little bit hard, especially because Stetson, you are a full-on teenager, and Isabella, you are almost a teenager. And so sometimes this is maybe not the first thing that you want to be doing, but it helps other people, and that's why we do it. And it helps other kids that might be looking up to you or that want to relate or parents that are getting ideas. So be sure to follow our family online and on social media, foodallergypi.com. And on all social media platforms, our handle is foodallergypi. This is the Food Allergy Talk podcast where you can come to connect and leave uplifted, empowered, and ready for success. I'm your host, Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI. Thanks for tuning in to the Food Allergy Talk podcast. Don't miss a future episode. Let's stay connected. Be sure to subscribe at iTunes, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, TuneIn Alexa, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Pocket Casts, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Podcast Index, and Reason FM. And until next time, remember, don't hesitate, investigate, and always carry two. This podcast is brought to you by the Everything Nut Allergy Cookbook, available now wherever books are sold. Details at foodallergypi.com. We'll be right back.